is 7 o'clock. Welcome to the City Council meeting for the City of Shore Acres. It's Monday, October 9th, 2017. 1.0, call to order, roll call.
Alderman Jennings, present.
Alderman McCallum,
present.
Mayor Pro Tem Bowles,
present.
Mayor Sanford,
present.
Alderman Reynolds,
present.
Alderman Hoskins,
present.
Mayor McCord.
2.0, pledge allegiance.
Pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. On the Texas flag, I pledge allegiance to the Texas, one state under God, one and indivisible.
3.0, special presentation. 3.1, annual report, Economic Alliance, Houston Port Region, Chadbrook.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. It's a pleasure to come for you tonight.
Back in just a little bit, so I can see.
And give you a quick look into all the activities that have been going on for the last year in a quick annual report. Real quickly, for those who may not be familiar with the Economic Alliance Houston Port Region, we're a regional economic development corporation. The mission is pretty simple and straightforward, and that's to market and grow a vibrant regional economy. The initiatives that we kind of work that mission are economic development, public policy, workforce development, transportation, and quality of life. The footprint is the 12 cities that surround the Houston Ship Channel, Harris County, and the Port Authority, and about 250 private member companies as well. And one of those cities, obviously, Shore Acres. So at the core of what we do is economic development. The services that are provided in that are kind of numerous, everything from real estate searches, site selection tours for companies trying to locate in the region or in the state, data research, economic impact studies to show the impact of potential locations or expansions, incentive and workforce programs, and then obviously one of the real more powerful things that the organization can do through its members is mobilization of those. So when somebody's working through a project, if they need workforce training, if they need help with utilities, if they need transportation, all of those things kind of come under that mobilization of key members. In 2016, we had three project wins that totaled about $498 million. Year to date, so far, we have two project wins. Year to date, one of them is kind of dwarfs the others, is a $2 billion Lyondell to sell project, with about three quarters of that going up in Channelview, and then the other quarter of that kind of split project happens over at the Bayport facility. We track kind of cross years, so you can see since really 08, the activities and the spike when really kind of the first wave of chemical investment hit the Houston Port region, really the whole Gulf Coast. We saw a couple of years of dip in 15 and 16, and that primarily is due to the drop in crude oil prices, which the chemical companies around the world looked at their portfolio and said, hey, can we make the same product with naphtha off of crude as economical as we can off of natural gas out of North America? And that equation and answer has really come back kind of a resounding, we're going to keep investing in North America and the Gulf Coast. And you'll see as this year, just by our numbers reflecting, you'll see it hop back up to $2 billion. And then I'll show you on the next slide. Our current pipeline of projects is as full as it has ever been with large capital investment projects. Obviously, over half of what we do is in the chemical industry. But you can see the logistics section of our pie has really grown over the last two or three years as that supports the new investments in the manufacturing side. Public policy really sets the ground rules for our companies and cities and county. We work on everything from transportation to regulations to hurricane surge protection, incentives for economic development, and of course workforce development or education as well. Each year we do go to Washington, D.C. Our members develop a white paper based on their, you know, their specific needs for this region. In March of this year, we took 32 members. We had 35 meetings across about 2.5 days in D.C. We'll go back in either late March or early April this next year. There's actually a group that that we put together at the request of the American Chemistry Council late this month. We leave on the 31st, but the 1st and 2nd of this of November, we're taking a group of about 10 people to go up and meet with the American Chemistry Council. They'll be setting they're setting meetings right now with White House staff, Vice President staff, Department of Transportation, Department of Commerce, the Corps of Engineers, all to discuss hurricane surge protection and try to continue to move that ball down the field. Obviously, we had a state session this year in 2017, and again, that committee, our public policy committee, develops a state white paper, and then we take that up there and help deliver that over the course of several meetings throughout the session on behalf of the region. Transportation, in my mind, really falls under public policy because road projects are generally funded through political mechanisms through the Houston Dobson Area Council. And when your cities and mayors and county commissioners and judges support projects, we tend to get things done. And so this group is made up of these leaders, ECMA, the mayors, the Port of Houston with Roger Gunther, Harris County specifically with Commissioner Moorman and Jeremy Phillips, and then Barbara Koslaw from the judge's office sits on that. TxDOT we interact with, and the Houston-Galveston Area Council obviously a lot. That committee, because of this slide right here, because there have been $50 billion in projects that begin coming online late this year, Harvey pushed that back a little bit. So, you know, but late this year, early next year, the first of those big projects come online. Because we'll see huge growth in containers, because of the impact that this region has on the state, we need to prioritize and push up those projects to help support moving those products freely through the region, but also at the same time gives us as citizens the ability to kind of live and get to work throughout the region. So these 27 projects were identified by the mayors, by the port, by industry, by the county, and then prioritized by that group so that we could push that to TxDOT and to the county. And we've been really very successful. So a lot of these projects that weren't on the radar of TxDOT are now very high on the radar. We've got some real good traction with those projects. You can see, it's kind of hard to see the yellow numbers, but those are the prioritized project numbers. You can see them along the Houston, kind of the ship channel north and south, and then a lot of them come down 146. It logically flows from those facilities down to the two port container terminals. Because that's where that product's moving. So these are all projects to kind of help debottleneck that and create more capacity within the region. Workforce development, again, we've continued to work diligently in this area. In 2016, we had 49 presentations and touched over 4,800 students. So far, year to date in 2017, we're already over 5,000 different students that we've had good conversations with about the careers that are just here in our area. So a lot of good things still happening in that. Member activities, you know, as a member and as council, you all have access to all of these activities if you're so inclined. But a lot of different participation throughout the year and a lot of opportunities to kind of network with other people in the region. These are the task forces. Again, we're a staff of seven. But we have, you know, hundreds and hundreds of volunteers from our members that sit on these task forces and really help push those agendas for each of those different things. And then finally, I hope some of you had a chance to come out to our Gulf Coast Industry Forum. This was the 8th year of that. We had over 1,000 attendees, 40 different, you know, companies. Great, really 2 days of great presentations about this part of Texas, about what we mean to Texas and to the world. And so we're really fortunate to have Secretary of Energy Perry come down, Senator Ted Cruz came down. Of course, Ryan Sitton, who is a businessman from Pasadena, but also a railroad commissioner, was there. A lot of great speakers across the 2 days, really kind of talking about what was going on in the region. So that's a quick overview. I don't want to take up too much time of your council meeting, but again, it's an honor to have Shore Acres as one of the 12 cities, and we're constantly trying to work and push that economic development ball down the street for us, down the football field, so, or baseball field over the fence as it were today. So, did that entertain any questions that you may have? If not,
Paul Grayson, last time you were here, I believe I mentioned the fact about as the containers and more trucks in this area increase, we see a lot of the roads and the secondary roads, especially around the railroad tracks, all getting tore up. We don't see a whole lot of work being done to repair those right away. So every time we drive our car, we drive over this massive twisted steel and everything else. Is that even on your priority list?
These 27 projects are either county roads or state roads. There are two or three rail projects on there, and I think it's two. And those two are grade separations to try and get an overpass over a specific point where the rail crossing stops traffic all the time. The ones that were identified by that committee, like I said, they were either county roads or they're state roads where those trucks are supposed to be. Now we all know that they get off of their expected routes occasionally, and sometimes coming in and out of the facilities. But this identified projects to be able to push these to TxDOT and to the county were just those roads. So if it falls under that, then there's a lot of these projects that may be some of the ones that you have to drive over. I think 146 is one of them between the two, you know, where it narrows down to two roads as you get kind of south of Spencer coming this way. Okay, that needs to be three lanes on both sides. You can't even get the trucks out of the left lane if there's only two lanes. So that's very high on the priority list, and that one's been approved and funded to begin in 2018. So hopefully.
But this is major.
He's
referring to Port Road, where all the truck traffic leaves a port and has to goes north or south on 146. There's no flyover
to come out.
Either there's no flyover to come out in either direction. As a consequence, the railroad crossing there is pretty torn up because there's a lot of heavy traffic and some area that has had flooding, and so it doesn't have a stable substrate under the pavement there.
But you can pick the number of them. You can pick the one on Bay Area, Bay Area Boulevard.
Well, Bay Area.
Well, there's getting tore all to pieces. You go down to the light on Fairmont. That roadway there is getting all tore up. And then if you get on the one where they built all those new warehouses and distribution points there, Borden Wings, mm-hmm. The road is like this, where the trucks have washed it out and beat it out as you go down through there. Now, just as a goodwill gesture to all of the residents, I suggest you put something on that list that says we're going to try and get these back into shape, so that we still have the goodwill of all the people still saying, oh, this truck's tearing up, and I don't know what's going on.
Well, those sound like good projects. I mean, those sound like, sounds like most of those are county projects, and we work really closely with Jeremy Phillips at Commissioner Mormon's office, and he's looking constantly for projects to put on their list. I mean, they've got a double bushel full of projects that they're working on, but those sound specifically like very good, you know, potential projects. So maybe I can get with David and
kind of identify some of those that are in the area and or on Bay Area. You know, they're right outside the area. We can help get those. I mean, that's what that group's for, is to try and identify those type of problems. So.
Go a long way for goodwill. That's all I'd say.
Yes, okay.
Real quick question. So is there any effort underway to restrict truck traffic in the left lanes as they do on 225? Because there's a lot of us, you know, individuals that drive.
Like on 146 right here? I'm not sure. I can't intelligently answer that question because I'm not sure with two lanes. I've always heard that there has to be three lanes to get them out of the left lane. Just that's how the rules have been. But I'm not sure who sets that rule.
Is that something that you could look into?
Sure. And as soon as they do that expansion on 146, it does create those lanes, then they will have to get out of the left-hand lane on this kind of north-south avenue right down through LaPorte and Shore Acres.
Because it's very dangerous. I mean, yeah. And to give us at least that, like we have on 225.
Absolutely.
And not only that, but it just, they go slow or, you know, it just gives us our own.
If I'm on 225 or 146, where it does have three lanes and I see somebody in the left lane, I intentionally get behind them and start to honk. I'm just going to believe that.
Question about that new expansion that's going on to 146. Realistically, how many years is that really going to take?
Right now, TxDOT says 2018 is begin construction, and it's an 18 to 24 month project. So, I mean, by 2020, they should be able to do that. They're working on several different large scale projects like that right now around the region. So that would be a good one.
2 years of misery.
Yeah.
How do you say that without laughing?
This is not going to be done in 2 years.
That's what they say.
I have a question. It doesn't really have anything to do with that. The dredging. Are y'all going to be dredging because of the hurricane over there?
Well, not us, as the Economic Development Corporation, but the port. I just actually got a phone call from the port earlier today, and they spent, from what I understand, they were up in Washington, D.C. last week trying to get extra funding because if you saw Chairman Longoria's presentation at the conference about all of the silting in that came with Harvey that really is limiting the debts. They've got a lot of work to do and a lot of money to spend to kind of re-sweep out the entire ship channel. So I know that they've got that lined up, and I know that they're asking for federal assistance to try and speed that process up, because every foot of debt that you lose, you end up having to lighter load ships, and that means more ship traffic, which means
more noise,
more pollution, more potential for accidents, everything that goes with that. Yeah.
And then the other thing was benzene. There was a benzene spill over there that I heard about, and I don't know a lot about it. Don't know any details. Do you know anything about that? It's like several weeks, maybe 6 weeks ago. There's a benzene spill.
At the Port of Houston?
Yeah, they cleaned it up, and then like a week or two later, they moved some barges and they found some more, so they were just clean. We never got any notice of that, but I know, so I'm just curious. Because
as long as it's liquefied, you wouldn't have to worry about it.
Benzene?
They think it's the gas and the way that it
flows. No, it is.
Benzene's
a liquid.
Yeah, but it's a gas structure, so as long as it was liquefied out there, it wouldn't have come to us. Not this far.
But it can still.
The only chemist in this room.
I don't know. I wasn't aware of that one. Yeah.
Okay. I was just curious about that.
Chad, I have one question for you. With your position with the port, I don't know if you can make this happen or not, but one of the things that we're seeing on Highway 146 is numerous daily discourteous 18-wheeler drivers. I mean, it's really gotten out of hand. With your contacts, I don't know if you could take a proactive approach and go to the container carriers and ask them to occasionally, once or twice a month, have one of their people sit on 146, and when they see one of their drivers being discourteous, driving too fast, you know, forcing people in a danger situation, to write down the truck and possibly suspend that driver for one day, so the word gets out, hey, drive courteous out here because you weigh more, you're traveling faster, it's harder for you to stop, and if you hit one of these cars, we're going to have someone killed. And it's a simple solution, but no one's enforcing it. We don't have enough DOT officers to enforce it, so.
We don't have any. We used to have one, but.
So if you could possibly talk to some of the carriers or who runs them and say, hey, let's just have a general lunch and talk to your people about being hurt. Do it in your safety meeting. You know, I have a safety meeting once a month, so.
Yeah, that's a, not the first person to express that opinion, obviously, and that's a good idea. Let's put some thought into that, how we can make that happen.
Because I do hope you remember, we were here first, you know, the people, the residents, and
sure,
we,
sure,
you know, we need it to be more than lip service, that we coexist and
But he's the Economic Alliance. He's not really
the second daughter. Well, they're not, and a lot of those companies aren't members of ours, but
everyone's affected, though.
We need to put some thought into how to potentially kind of make a positive effect there.
Could the Ship Channel Security District do anything with that?
You know, I'm trying to think of groups that might be able to do something like that, and that's one that we might have to reach out to.
And we meet Saturday, national meeting is Saturday for the Ship Channel Security District.
Yeah.
10 a.m. at Pasadena. It's open to anybody in the community that wants to go. So that could be a help because they work really close with that gun.
Yeah.
Harris County Sheriff's Office.
That's a good idea. That's a good idea. We need to find some groups that can
champion that.
Yeah. Yeah. I would agree with that wholeheartedly.
Thanks, Shane.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Okay, so we're going to move on to 4.0, council reports and requests. There are none. Move on to 5.0, public hearings and public comments. 5.1, Neil Moyer, water, sewer, and trash rates.
I'm Neil Moyer, 1118 North Country Club Drive. I'm sure if one looks at the record, no, one can't look at the record because there isn't any physical record except the recording. But there have been two meetings in which these fees came up. The original meeting, which Alderman Jennings presented these fees. Nobody from the public who had any idea what the fees were going to be because they weren't available in either the council packet or any other form. So needless to say, there was no public testimony on that. So the record is very clear. The public doesn't give a damn. No, that's not true. They just didn't know. Okay. Now, there was a meeting last Monday in which this issue was brought back for reconsideration, and there was no public testimony at that meeting either because there was no public testimony allowed. And this would have been after the public could have been aware of the fees, but nevertheless, there was no public testimony allowed. Now, I don't know that there's an explanation that says, well, just an oversight. The public, obviously, if they cared more, they would have called Mr. Jennings up if they'd known that he had that information or when. Or any of the other council members, because I kind of like to think that maybe somehow you people divine what the fees might be, but then maybe not. We certainly couldn't from the audience. This is starting to look like, and I've been reminded several times, that the council doesn't have to allow public comment. That's not required. You guys can just decide that it's not needed. Certainly, at the last Monday's meeting, there wasn't any opportunity for public comment, so obviously it wasn't needed, even though the topic was back on the agenda. It's starting to look like a form, and I use this word somewhat advisedly, of totalitarianism. Public doesn't count. Public only counts one time. That's on election day. And then it's only a small number that counts. So for the rest of us, I guess we can just stay fat, in my case. Dumb, I suppose. I'm getting old enough that I fall into that class. And I suppose we should be happy being ignorant of what we're going to be stuck with. Now, I happen to think that had a little dialogue taken place, that if, rather than applying these increases, the largest increases to the trash rate, ironically enough, for these two engineering studies. If it had been applied through the property tax, there would have been 159 additional properties that would have been available or paying a small, tiny increase in the property tax to pay for these two studies. I should also finally note that the fees that were increased by the council action, there's no termination on them, none whatsoever. They continue on in perpetuity unless the council takes some additional action. Whether or not the engineering studies even get done, or whether engineering studies accomplish anything. So I think, you know, if there had been an opportunity for public comment, public consultation, I think things could have turned out better for all involved, including most of the people who are sitting here tonight. None of them got a chance to testify because they didn't know what was happening, and they didn't, as I said, were prohibited from testifying last Monday. So I just leave those words of plaintive words of appeal that before you do anything that involves fees, taxes, spending of money, transferring of money around the budget, make sure it's very clear from the council agenda package what it is, so some of us can inform ourselves and possibly have some input on that. Maybe not. Totalitarianism doesn't require input. Thanks.
We're going to move on to 5.2, public comments. This is the opportunity for the public to address council or comment on items to appear on the agenda. Time is limited to 5 minutes per speaker. Comments are to be directed to the city council, and dialogue with the audience is not permitted. Council members are prohibited by law from participating in discussion or deliberation of items not specifically identified on this agenda. So we're going to start on this then. Is there anybody here? Anybody up here?
The comment you're talking about are the comments on the administrative report?
On anything that you...
Is he going to give the administrative so we can comment after that, or
would you like me to open it up for comments when he gives it? Because right now it's public comments time. Can you state your name and your address for the record?
Yes, Paul Greason.
Okay.
604 East Forest Avenue.
Okay. So I can't have dialogue with you, but I will take that into account when we get to administrative reports.
I'll reserve my comments a bit.
Is there anybody else? No. Okay. So we're going to move on to 6.0 administrative report. 6.1 city manager report. 6.1.1 Hurricane Harvey storm debris removal. Mr. Stahl.
Yeah. Four brief items to touch on this evening. The first one is Hurricane Harvey storm debris removal. As you know, we've had a couple of rounds of collections in the city. That were done by the county's contractor. We anticipate another pass this week. I've sent out a communication to our residents to encourage them to put material out for pickup this week so we get as much of it out of the community as possible. You ready for the next item?
Yes, 6.1.
Comment? I think he has a comment.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Name and address one more time.
Paul Greason, 604 East Forest Avenue, right on the lakes, forest right there. Towards the Lake Forest. Insurance, I know for me, has not come through and did anything. And they said it would be a good long while before they did. So I've got a bunch of stuff I've got to pull out, like, you know, cabinets and things like that, that I haven't pulled out yet. So what are we looking at on this debris removal, and when is it going to cut off?
The advice is to get the material out of your house as soon as possible. Flood insurance does not cover mold and mildew that is the result of leaving material in the house. FEMA will tell you that everything should be pulled out. Photograph it before you take it out. Pull it out and photograph it and let it be hauled away. You should not be waiting for your insurance. If the insurance is telling you that is incorrect, you should not be waiting. All of the insurance for flood is FEMA National Flood Insurance. The insurance companies are just a writer of that. So you should get it out, you know, so you can.
Anybody else?
Do you need help with removal?
Okay. Okay, 6.1.2, Shore Acres Boulevard, Palm Trees?
No.
We already did that.
I've got some of it out.
We're on to the next agenda.
Yeah, we had over 50 palm trees that were put on a schedule with Harris County for removal from their tree right away. They came through, their contractor came through and cut those trees down and then made another pass and removed the trees. And then did grinding of the tree ball at the base. After that work was completed, a visit was made and two trees were discovered that were on the list that were missed. They've come back out since then. If you see them today, those trees have been cut down. They've not been hauled off yet, and those tree root balls have not been ground, but they will be. There was an additional tree that was marginal at the time that the list was made. Harris County went out for proposals for their vendor to do that. They used a map and a specific number of trees, and the trees were specifically identified. That tree wasn't on that list. So we have one additional tree now that is a dead tree that will not be removed by the contractor to take these two trees out. I have been working with Harris County, and it's possible that we'll prevail with them having a county crew come out and cut that one tree down and have it removed. So if you notice that there's one remaining dead soldier out there, that's why.
6.1.3, Byway Seagrove, Shore Acres Boulevard Drainage.
We're making progress on seeking a drainage easement across the property, across the street here between Seagrove and Shore Acres Boulevard. I visited with the city engineer last week, and they had done survey work of the existing drainage and the existing property lines and objects on the property. They had not identified the area that would be required for the easement, and so that now is being done by the city engineer to set the boundaries for that, and a meets and bounds with legal description that will then be used by the attorney in drafting an easement agreement. So that work is ongoing.
6.1.4, annual audit progress report.
I have had communication in the last week, or actually the last 2 weeks, with the auditor. Last week they were out of the office attending the TML conference in Houston. They have a draft of the audit, the management letter, the representation letter. Now, the city attorney has a draft of the representation letter from the city attorney. All of those things should be coming back full circle this week from that review. I have visited with a member of the audit committee. They would like to visit with the auditor prior to the presentation to City Council. That should be in work to be scheduled Wednesday or after Wednesday of this week. And as soon as that occurs and the final audit is signed and prepared, then that will come back to Council for presentation.
Good.
That's it.
6.2.
Sure. Paul Greason, 604 East Forest Avenue. On the Byway Seagrove Shore Acres Boulevard drainage, that's just covering down at the slough area, right?
No, sir. It's just covering one piece that we don't have the ability to work on. It's from Shore Acres Boulevard to the middle point of the block between Shore Acres Boulevard and Seagrove.
Okay. And the drainage that's on Byway, from Seagrove down Byway up through Forest, that stays just like it is now. It gets growed up pretty quick with all the debris and everything. And in each of those drainage basins, they still have the wire in there where they didn't cut it out. So all the plastic bags from everywhere up there collect in every one of those. I know because I clean them out ever so often.
Thank you.
But I would like to give that job to somebody else and have them cut that wire out of there so if all those items can drain on through.
I think we just took care of that. Enough.
That's the one that's on Forest and Seagrove as well. Okay. One of them's about to fall apart too. One of those catch basins.
And just for council clarification, this red line, could get this to work tonight, we talked about it. This red line shows where the drainage is at that we're talking about. And you can see City Hall is in the middle on the right-hand side, and the water plant with our ground storage tank. And the yellow pin there is actually a fire hydrant, but where that yellow pin is at, that's the piece of property that we're seeking the easement on. The north piece of property between that center of the block and Seagrove, we purchased that property about 2 years ago. So the city now owns that and has control over it to accomplish the drainage. And the goal is to improve the drainage down Byway all the way across old Highway 146.
Okay. And then this is the area here that has most of the weeds in it. And then back up here is where the catch basins are that need to be wire cut out.
Yes, sir.
This here, I've cleaned out a couple times myself, all the way down to these two pipes here and then to these three pipes. But this area here, do we have clearance on this? Was this along the Shore Acres here?
Yes, sir.
And this is one of the areas which, if we own any of this, it needs to be dug out as a retention.
We don't. That's what we're talking about tonight, is we're working on getting an easement so we can do that work. We can't get on that property at all now.
Yeah, but I mean, is it going to be something you can make big so it can be a direct
That's what the easement's for. Right now, we can't do anything on that property. That's what we're trying to do.
Well, that's why I fled twice.
I understand that. That's why it's on our list.
This isn't the same property. I think that I sent you the email on that the Civic Association is donating, right? This isn't different? Okay. So we're going to move on to 6.2 monthly police department report. Chief Harrison.
Thank you. I'm sure you all received the report already and looked at it. I don't think I've ever stood up here and said we had a slow month, but by comparison, though, September after the hurricane has been slow for us. The calls were down, so there's not a lot that went on last month as far as these calls that you see here. Had a lot of extra patrol requests on houses that people vacated, a lot of calls for hurricane-related things like updating through the trash and things like that. And pretty much a slow month for us.
I have one question, too.
Yes, sir.
Of the, you had noted here 5 loud music noises.
Yes, sir.
And out of those 5, how many were repeats? Do you know?
I don't know without looking. I'm sorry.
How many citations were issued?
I don't know the answer to that either without looking.
Okay. Could you look into that?
Absolutely. Normally, there's no policy that will react in a way. It's officer discretion. But I can assure you, when an officer gets called out twice for the same call, he becomes ready to deal with it so he's not called out a third time. We don't always issue a citation the first time.
I understand that. That would be normal policy as far as I would be concerned, too.
But there are circumstances that, depending on the time of evening, time of night, and how loud the music is, where we're not on the first call, it's just ridiculous.
Okay. Thank you.
There was 83 total citations issued, right?
Yes, ma'am.
That's what it says. Okay.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
6.3, Monthly Public Works Department Report.
Good evening. You have the written report from Eric Ingram, the works director. I would note that we have 4 leaks. They were all on 2-inch or smaller lines, so very light in terms of any water losses that we had. They completed the reconstruction of one of the pedestrian bridges into Heron Park along Taylor Bayou, and also we addressed some of the issues with the public works yard and mud laying in crushed concrete. We had visited the city engineer on where we would get the most bang for the buck in controlling the mud in the yard, and the recommendation was that particular size and placement of crushed concrete, and that has been completed.
So we're going to move on to
7.0 business, 7.1, consideration and action to approve utility account balance adjustments in excess of $500 authorized by City Code Section 66188. Do we have a motion?
No.
Dice for lack of motion?
Well, no, I don't know what the action was.
To approve utility account balance adjustments. It's the Houston Yacht Club, correct?
That's
they
correct.
Had a leak and we're trying to adjust it.
Per the recent change in the city ordinance, the administrative adjustments for water loss, which is a routine function for us. When they make a when a water customer makes a repair and provides a receipt proof of repair, then we do a 6-month averaging, including that high bill, and then make an adjustment. Per the ordinance, any adjustment in excess of $500 requires council approval. In your packet is a memo from the utility clerk detailing the loss that they had at the yacht club. It was rather sizable. They have large lines, they have large meters there. This was on just one of their systems, 354,000 gallons. So this adjustment is $2,142.75. I would note their normal bill runs about $1,000.
Do we have a motion?
Yeah, I'll make a motion to approve the adjustment.
Second. I'll second. So we have a motion brought by Jennings to approve the utility account balance adjustment in excess of $500 as offered with the code section 66188, seconded by Ramos. We want discussion.
Just a question. This is just one line. They have more than one, right?
They have two. They have one that serves their building, and they have one that serves the marina.
Okay, so that's the one that doesn't make sense.
Correct.
Okay. And this is all within 1 month period at this point? How long did the leak last?
Yeah, they had a break, and I don't know what the period of that was, but it was on a very large line. I don't know how long it ran to do that.
Is this something we figured out after the bill came out? Or?
When we did the meter read, I don't know if they discovered it frankly, prior to our meter read or not. One of the hazards of being a waterfront property is it is possible to have a break or a leak that goes straight to a drainage or goes to the bay.
And
it's a little different than if it fills your backyard up or is running down the driveway.
Last question. Has it been fixed?
Yes, and there are receipts for the parts and materials to do repair. They have their own maintenance personnel on site, and so those are the purchases.
So they weren't required to get a permit or anything?
Not for that part of the service. So.
Okay.
So all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Passes. And moving on to 7.2, consideration and action to select city manager candidate for interview and establish an interview schedule and process. So.
Do we want to start? Do you want to start, or we have Aaron Harris here that can explain what the committee actually did and the process? If we, unless someone at council checks, can we give her a few minutes explain?
Also, I wanted to, I didn't have anything with the agenda, but I just wanted to send my condolences for your, was it your dad?
Both.
And then his? Yes. So, I'm sorry.
Okay, Annie, thank you. Well, good evening, Council Mayor and Mr. Strong. I just wanted to explain that I don't know what all they've received. Did they receive the entire packet that I sent to you?
They received various materials in the past tonight. They have your top 8.
Do they have a spreadsheet?
They have the applicant material. They have the rankings. They have the sheet that shows how they were scored individually, and they also have the survey results for each of those 8 candidates.
Well, there's a spreadsheet that I sent to both Ron and Mr. Stahl, and it kind of outlined the methodology that we as the committee used to rank the applicants. As we discussed a couple meetings ago, it was the desire of the committee to attempt to rank these candidates in as much of an objective manner as we could, and with personal identifying information redacted, so we would not know names, ages, genders, etc. So we have previously presented to council, I believe, and it was adopted, a set of criteria and attributes that we felt were important for the city manager. Ron and I got together with that list, and we took out those elements that could objectively be derived by looking at an application. And we came up with 16 different questions to ask. And then we got a survey on SurveyMonkey together. And most of the questions were either binary questions, a yes-no answer, or they were your typical five-point answer choices, like not at all experienced, not very experienced, somewhat experienced, very experienced, extremely experienced. Just various questions, and you probably have that in your packet. And so we assigned points to those. It was 0 and 8 for the yes-no questions, and 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, and 8 for the five-point questions. Then we weighted the questions, and we put a value of 1, 2, or 3 on how important were these questions relative to the other questions. So we came up with a scoring system, and this was blind to the other committee members, so it wouldn't sway them to answer a question one way or the other. And then we distributed the questionnaire, the survey, to all the candidates, the committee members, and they answered the same set of questions for each of the applicants. One of our committee members, who was present and active in the first phase of the committee, was not able to help out with the second phase. So Neil Moyer was recruited when he showed up to be an observer, and he graciously accepted to help us in that endeavor, which was no small endeavor. It was probably a good 8 to 16 hours spent doing that.
I won't be giving blood for another
couple. So anyway, I just kind of wanted to explain the methodology. If anyone has any questions of us, you know, offline, feel free to reach out to me and I can explain it in more detail to you. But that's what we did. So the maximum point that you could come up with was, I think, off the top of my head, about 224. So once these came in, I downloaded it into SQL Server, I did my coding magic, and we scored all these and then ended up on the link, which is what you have. Now, one thing I'd like to caution the council on is that this, because it is objective, it has a bias toward experience and education. And so we can't see these candidates. So the candidate that looks good on paper might not be the best candidate for us, but they're going to rank number one if they're high in education and experience. Therefore, the limitations of what we did is that it will not identify that candidate that's up and coming that could be the next best thing for Shore Acres. So we just want to let the council know what the limitations are and that this is just one tool in your arsenal to judge what candidate you might want to consider and extend an offer to. So, are there any questions about any of this that we did as a committee?
I have a question about Neil Moyer. Is the committee member that he sat in for, do we need to replace him? Do we need to substitute them for Neil?
This was one of those things. You let me know. This was one of those beg forgiveness instead of ask permission things, because we really wanted to have five people represent.
I'm okay with that. Okay. Do we need to swap him out, put him in that place?
I think that's a question for the committee to answer, and so if you need to do it retroactive, I haven't spoken to that committee member. I've tried to reach out several times, so I don't know what's going on there. And I don't know that we have any other role.
Yeah, it's going to depend on if we're going to have more of a role.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, if we're done with, if the committee's over and we're done, then
But you raised a good point, because I did. We just kind of, as a committee, we made an executive decision that day.
Yeah, that's so fine.
And if it is, but if it isn't, I can take the scores out, too.
I don't have a problem.
I feel so bad.
It's okay. We're fine with you. I just didn't know if we're going to. I mean, we don't know if later on y'all are going to need to meet for something. I mean, do we need to substitute just in case? Or?
I I just work here. I don't even get paid, so
none of us do.
So that's all I have. Were there any other questions about? Oh, and there are three additional candidates. I had to break this to everyone. I don't know if I can get the committee together or if it's necessary to rank those or if that's just something that council can look at these three and say, well, where would we rank them in the 10? Or, you know, how, if you want us to do, there were three that came in later. I hadn't even looked to see.
Y'all should rank them just like you rank these.
Okay. Well, they'll rank in with the other 25. So okay. I just have to send it probably a week before we get those three in. And the other thing, too, that the council talked about was, that the committee talked about was, there are some very good candidates, and we hope that that at least there's some interim contact with some of the ones that are look promising to let them know it's a slow wheel to turn, but you're definitely we're interested in.
We're looking.
Yeah, so we don't lose out on some of the really good ones that our lack of communication might. That's all I have.
Thank you, Karen.
So, do we want to go ahead and substitute Neil, and y'all can rank those other three on the next council meeting? Only three more. It's three more. You already had all of these. What's three?
One more.
Come on. Thanks for the eyes.
I will please deserve. It was an interesting exercise, especially since essentially the matrix was all linked together. But it did require reading all 25 applications and then being able to translate what we saw in the applications or resumes into the matrix.
And why we liked it, too, was when you read those, one thing will stand out about a candidate, but if it wasn't identified as an attribute or criteria, we wanted to make sure that we were really measuring them by the same benchmark across. Right. So, you know, again, that's a limitation. If there's somebody that had something that wasn't identified, you know, so again, when council, mayor, when you look at that, just bear in mind that we're not saying, we don't expect you guys, and I know you won't, to hold to our list. It's just one part of the equation.
We're not necessarily saying that applicant number 10 with the score of 183 is going to be the best candidate.
Right.
We're
right.
saying
exactly.
that based on that ranking,
that's what you'll score.
What we're able to read, that's what it looks like now. It could turn out that applicant 10 is the worst candidate.
Right. He could have three eyes.
And, you know, we don't know. And it's left all his jobs for embezzlement. We don't know.
We did
no background checks on anyone. No references. So we know, the only thing we know is what was on paper. Resume. Not anything further beyond that. So that begs the next question, whether council wants the committee to continue.
Well, just the three that y'all received in, would be nice to have them ranked the same way that these were ranked.
It's not going to be that hard.
So then maybe we can just go ahead and try to substitute Neil next time just to make it legit.
Mm-hmm. It's just an email. We don't even need for that. I just emailed them survey.
So as far as consideration action to select the city manager candidates to interview for establishing an interview schedule process, what are we trying to, Mr. Stolz, on your agenda? What were you thinking about? I just wanted to get everything back to this point.
I'm giving you a scope of activity there that will keep the ball pushed ahead. My hope would be that you select candidates from the entire group, but that you select candidates that you'd like to interview, that you identify when you'd like to do the interviewing, like, you know, two or three different days or dates and times to do interviews. They can all be done at the same time and schedule one or the other after the other or on different days. We don't know what the availability of the candidates are. We can't check availability of the candidates until we know who the candidates for the interview are. We also don't know if they're still available.
So you want us to decide tonight which one?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh,
and I tried to make it a more manageable task by taking, and actually it's very advantageous the way that the committee operated, and and scored them as opposed to ranking them. The score shows how much space you have between those applicants and will allow the three and today now number four to be just dropped into the sequence. So what I provided you with was the top eight by virtue of the ranking of the committee. In there are the packets of all eight of the applicants. They are in that bundle stapled together in the order in which they appear on that ranking sheet. So let's start with that, number 10. The second packet that you have are the survey documents that the committee members answered the survey, so you can see how the individual questions were responded to. And in that packet, they are in number order so that they're a little easier to find. Top left corner of every page has what applicant number they are.
Is there any way we can have a special meeting in 3 days so that we have time to look over this stuff? This is a lot. I don't want to make a decision on the fly.
Or we could just email Stahl like our top, you know, four or five picks by, say, like Friday or something.
That we can have. Well, I think we're going to do it pretty quick. It's Monday.
We haven't added the additional three applicants.
And they still have to review them, so.
And there'll be four.
One more? Okay, so do we need to have a special meeting to take that type of action? Can we email?
Okay. You can authorize someone to select who you're going to interview, but you cannot send email and reach a consensus of council.
Right, behind.
That would not be appropriate. So a special meeting would be the way to do it, where you can talk about the candidates and which ones that you'd like to select, have that discussion amongst you, and get it down to...
So if I said I want to call a special meeting right now, we would have to do it for... It's Monday, because it'd have to be Thursday that we did it, right?
It'd have to be Thursday, and you did it...
Yes, go ahead, Karen.
At this moment, it probably wouldn't be until 9 o'clock on Thursday, because I will have to do an agenda, and I'll have to post it outside.
But as long as it's out by tomorrow's Tuesday, Wednesday... Oh, okay. Yeah, but Friday would be the. But y'all need a week. Go ahead.
Well, so I don't know if this is a good idea or not, but do you think it would be helpful for council to answer the same questions about the top eight of the survey, and that would kind of rank them? I mean, would that be something?
I could
send
idea.
Everybody a link. So if we've identified the eight, I can send the links to those eight surveys. And you're each identified,
okay.
So I'm able to segregate you from the committee, and I could also then it would come a rank from you guys. But again, the limitations there, you might want to see beyond what we identified as a committee as attributes and skills. But what we found in the committee was we thought we could just all get together and decide who was going to be the top so many candidates. But what we found in reality, remember you were, was Gary had one idea and Billy had another idea, and there was not this cohesiveness of this.
Everybody had a different
you know, and so the mathematical.
Took the personality out of it.
Well, it just allowed us to cut to the chase, and instead of just everybody, you know.
Yeah, because one may be looking for someone that has experience and all this education. The other may want somebody that's fresh out of college that, you know.
So maybe you want to look at the survey and decide if that's something you guys think would be valuable for you to take. Or
so do you want to send those to us and we'll call a special meeting for Friday?
Could I make a suggestion?
Sure.
All we're looking for here is guidance for Mr. Stahl tonight. So why don't we guide him to send out feelers to the top eight here? No one on council is restricted to the top eight, the top 25, or whatever. And then instead of calling a special meeting, we can guide him to reach out to these eight. I notice he has a breakpoint at 120, apparently. So anybody above 120 we can reach out to. And then council is welcome also to tell Mr. Stahl, okay, I've looked at applicant number 21 with 0 points, but I really think we should interview him as well, or her. Whomever that might be, and that way we can do our business tonight and get on with this, and we don't need another meeting, and we can get this progress going, and then the committee can look at these other four, which I've already seen, but we can scroll right through those, and if the committee thinks that or if their ranking goes into that 120 range, then we can automatically include that.
I would like time to read all this. This is a lot. I would like to read each one of them.
You only have the top eight. You don't have all 25.
That's what I mean. This is the top eight. That's what they're reading right now.
I don't want to be dense. Jennings, it was just the top third. It wasn't tied to the 120.
No, I was just looking at the breakpoint, David. Looking at the breakpoint.
So you say contact the top eight, and I contact them, and what will I be telling them?
So if they're still interested, number one.
Okay.
And then if they are, then let council know, and then schedule interviews as appropriate. And then council has obviously.
There's 25 of them, though. I mean, we would like to look at them. I mean, we're just going to go by how they scored on the ranking.
I've looked at all 25 of them. I'm assuming council has requested the same things I have. Mm-hmm. And we can do anything independently of the committee. But the committee's work is to streamline the process. And so, I say we use it to streamline it and get the eight going. And then if we see another one we want to throw in there, we throw it in.
I haven't seen the top 25, and if it was provided to you, personally, the ordinance should have been provided to all council. So,
you know, sometimes you have to ask for information, Mayor. If you ask for something, you generally receive
it. If you ask for something under city ordinance, it's required that all of us receive it, not just one. All of us didn't receive it, apparently. So I would like to receive it and review them. I would like to read them.
Okay, well, I would ask that council just take me up on the top eight and move forward. So I don't know if you want a motion or...
Okay, so we want to make a motion. I'll move that we ask Mr. Stoll to contact the top eight candidates as presented to find out their current availability, if they're still interested and eligible to become our next city manager. And I guess check on the availability of when they would be available for interviews.
Which would have to be during a council meeting, right? Executive session, or are we doing it?
Something Mr. Salt can figure out how we're going to do that.
We would have to decide if it's going to be an executive session or not.
Right.
Yeah, we would have to call an executive session and do it outside of the pregame.
It doesn't have to be a council meeting, and one of the things that. Even without selecting who to be interviewed, if you have a date and time that you would like to have as a target for interviews, that would be very helpful. If we have the same 72-hour in advance requirement post that. So, you know, if we wanted to do it like next Tuesday, that posting would need to happen Thursday of this week. If you wanted to do it, you know. So I'm just saying that we want to keep the process moving along as quickly as possible. Having some target dates and times for interviews when we can post for a council meeting. We wouldn't be obligated to have the meeting, but we could at least have a
time and date that we're looking at. I mean, we've got to provide them with a time and date to see if they're available to be there. So we probably need to figure that out before we call them, right? So we have a motion to contact the top eight for availability, brought by Alderman Hoskins. Do we have a second? Okay, it dies for lack of a second. Is there anybody else have a motion? Okay, there's no further business. We will adjourn at 8:03.